This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Extra 106.3 would like to welcome you home. This is the All Four Seasons Home Show with Jim Niarchos and Dan Watkins, only on Extra 106.3 FM.
Welcome to the All Four Seasons Home Show with your sponsor, Dan Watkins. I'm Jim Niarchos. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm amped up, buddy. I am amped up. You know, this is the show that a lot of look forward to all year long.
I know it is. It's exciting for you.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's coming up before you know it.
It's crazy.
It's coming up.
It's crazy. It's like it just comes, it creeps up on you, and then it just smacks you in the face.
And when you talk about the holiday season, what is the most cherished symbol of the Yuletide?
A Christmas tree.
You better believe it. A real Christmas tree. Not any of these artificial trees that are in the closet and, you know, you take them apart, you put them up and they're dusty and maybe the lights work on them, maybe they don't pre-lit and all that. You don't ever get a chance to get burned by the bulbs. By the way, the C9 is my personal choice for the Christmas bulb this year.
Okay, well, we'll get into that, Jim. You're jumping the gun a little bit here.
Well, I tell you what, I'm jumping because I'm so happy to have with us, and not only a former guest, but an old friend, Matt Bowman of Tradition Trees. And, you know, when you think about Christmas in Metro Atlanta, you think about Tradition Trees.
That's right.
Okay. Matt, welcome back to the All Four Seasons Home Show, and thanks for taking the time to come. I know this is a very, very busy, you're preparing for the onslaught, so welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Dan. I am happy to be here, and I was thinking about it in the car getting over here this morning that our tagline is it wouldn't be Christmas without tradition, but it wouldn't be Christmas without Matt going on the Four Seasons Home Show here on 106.3.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You've done it. He's been on us, what, at least two or three other times? Because
I think it's more than that.
It's become a holiday tradition here.
Yeah, really. I bet you this is probably like the seventh time over the years, and it hasn't always been on this station, but we've been
doing
it.
And why do we bring him back, Dan?
He's the best.
Because he is the Maharaja of Merry Christmas, I'm telling you right now.
He is, you know, when people, if you haven't heard him before, get ready. Don't change the dial because
you're gonna
get the history of the Christmas tree
now,
and then some.
It might sound a little tongue-in-cheek, but I'll tell you, all jokes aside, this guy is the guy to talk about trees and what kind of trees and why you should have a tree. And he's got some other services, too, that I'll let him get into. But first of all, for those of you who may not be real familiar with Matt, I'm going to ask Matt to give a short bio on himself, how in the world he got into this industry, and the genesis of Tradition Trees. Go ahead, Matt.
Sounds good. Well, Tradition Trees has been open here in Atlanta since 2006, and I personally have been in the Christmas tree business since 1996. That's hard to believe, but I was 18 years old when I first started fooling around with Christmas trees, and Christmas was always a big deal for my family growing up. I just loved the Christmas tree, and my mom would hang garland everywhere. And as I got in the business, I loved it and kind of stuck with it. And in 2006, I got serious about it and created the brand and got a website, all that stuff that was, you know, fairly new for businesses back in the 2000s. And since then, we've been bringing Christmas to Atlanta every year. We've got we usually set up five or six locations around the city. We have Christmas trees available to purchase online. You can put a deposit down and reserve your tree for pickup at one of our lots or deliver it. Right now, we got crews all over Atlanta hanging Christmas lights, making it easy for folks. We handling premium Christmas trees that we get from North Carolina and Tennessee and all over the Appalachians. We also carry some West Coast trees, the good old noble fir that people seem to really love. We work hard year round, believe it or not, to ensure that we just get premium Christmas trees to Atlanta and try to provide some services for folks that really make Christmas easy. It's a stressful time of year, and our goal is to make it easy on folks.
Well, one thing I want to bring up, because I know you won't bring it up, so I'm going to bring it up, and that is, what you guys do for the community. You donate a lot of trees, right? Let's talk about that a little bit, because I know that's important to our audience, to support companies that support their community like Tradition Trees.
Well, thank you, Jim. And you're right. We don't do it for the recognition, but we know first and foremost, Christmas is a time of giving. So we want to be, you know, a part of that. So we do donate a bunch of Christmas trees to organizations all over the city, Atlanta Community Food Bank, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, among others. And we actually do a lot of fundraising as well with wreath sales through our wreaths company, which is traditionwreaths.com. Last year, we were able to raise just about $7,000 for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta through our wreath fundraising.
Wow. I love it, Dan, don't you?
I do. But you know what I always love the most out of the whole show is hearing the history of the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And I know, and you know, he always does such a great job, because we put a tree up every year. But sometimes we wonder, well, how in the devil did we go out in the forest and cut down a tree and bring it into the house and put stuff on it? How did that ever come about? What does that have to do with Christmas? But I'll tell you what, when it comes to an answer, Matt Bowman's got it. Go, Matt, go.
Sounds good. Yeah, it is kind of wacky, right? What brought us to this point where we bring Christmas trees in our house and hang lights and ornaments and all the trappings and trimmings that we throw on Christmas trees? It's a long story, believe it or not. So it really starts back in really ancient times when tribes in Europe, in what would mostly be considered Germany today, in the winter months when it was cold and dark and didn't seem like spring would ever come, on the winter solstice, a lot of these tribes would have celebrations where they would cut down an evergreen tree to remind them that, hey, at some point spring's coming. We're going to have green trees and the grass is going to grow, and we'll get out of this cold and dark age. And it just became kind of a winter solstice celebration for folks. And that was happening in the cultures prior to the birth of our Lord Jesus. And then after that, when the church would send out missionaries all across Europe and you know, wherever they could go to spread the good word, that's where we kind of get to the Christian connotation with it, where Saint Boniface, and this is back in the 6th century AD, so the 500 eras, he was a missionary out in the Germanic areas with these tribes, and he noticed this tradition that happened to coincide right around Christmas, the winter solstice, where they would celebrate with these evergreen Christmas trees. And most everyone knows, like a lot of the conifers, a lot of the evergreen trees kind of have that triangular shape. Well, St. Boniface used that triangular shape to kind of make the analogy to the Trinity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So it was an easy way to get these pagan tribes interested and understanding what Christianity was all about. So before you know it, it became a Christian tradition to put up a Christmas tree in the wintertime to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Some monumental dates were in 1444 in Riga, Estonia. They actually started putting up a Christmas tree, a big giant Christmas tree in their town square that they still do to this day. So since 1444, that place has done it. When it became a big deal for residential folks was really the Germans started doing it all through the Middle Ages. And then old Prince Albert married Queen Victoria over in England in the middle of the 1800s. And he grew up in Bavaria, so Christmas trees were a big deal for him. And he started putting a Christmas tree up in Windsor Castle with Queen Victoria and their family. And it just took off like wildfire, where all of the English society started putting up Christmas trees, and it became a big deal in England. And then slowly it made its way across the Atlantic over here to America. So where now at this point, folks are buying Christmas trees all over the place. I think there's a advertisement from the New York Times back in the 1870s where a guy was cutting trees from up in Maine and bringing them down into New York City. And before you knew it, there was a pretty thriving retail Christmas tree industry. And at this point, it's just become a pretty big business. Anywhere from 32 to 35 million live Christmas trees are sold every year across the country. And obviously, even in Hawaii and Alaska, folks are celebrating Christmas. There's Christmas trees grown in just about every state of the Union. The USDA recognizes 11 different types of Christmas trees, believe it or not. But here in the Southeast, everyone's favorite is the good old Fraser fir. It's grown native to the Appalachians, and it's grown in the mountains, and the best growing elevations are above 3,000 feet. So we're talking the mountains. Any folks who've spent some time up in North Carolina, if you head towards Boone, you know, Cashers, Highlands area, Boone's really the big spot where there's just tons of farms all over the place. But yeah, even Tennessee, Virginia, Pennsylvania grows some Fraser firs along with some Douglas firs. Michigan grows a ton of Christmas trees. All the West Coast states, Washington, Oregon, there's Christmas trees growing everywhere.
Well, you know what I find interesting about the Christmas tree is, of course, it's directly related to the Christian celebration of the birth of Christ. But everybody has embraced the Christmas tree, Dan. I know people that are not Christians, other religions, or are not really religious, and they all want a Christmas tree in the house, don't they, Matt?
They do. We definitely sell Christmas trees to all sorts of folks. And, you know, to some extent, it's become a secular holiday for a lot of people. We always try to say, hey, don't forget the reason for the season, right? But at the same time, we welcome anyone who wants to buy a Christmas tree. We got one for them, no doubt about it.
Right. And I think that's pretty cool that they do that, right, Dan?
Well, yeah. Listen, I mean, I'm sure a lot of these things start in different places, right? I mean, Thanksgiving, Halloween, whatever, and things spread. And, you know, people do forget about the season a little bit, which is too bad. Happy that everybody gets a Christmas tree, right? And we're celebrating, and they should, right? Especially the other kids or whatever. But and the kids look at Christmas a little differently than adults do. But you know, everybody should remember that season and why it is that we do have Christmas. It's the Christ part in there. But you know, in general, here Christmas is just fun. I mean, it's fun for a lot of people. Jim, for people that don't know, Jim is a total Christmas freak. He really is his favorite time of the year, and he gets jacked, and a lot of people are that way.
Well, I find that in general, although the holidays can be sad for some people, and we need to embrace those people and cheer them up and make them feel part of it, but for the most part, people just seem to be more optimistic or happier during the Christmas season. You ever notice that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're that's one of the great parts about our business is that we get folks on the lot and everyone's just excited. You know, it's Christmas time. The kids are excited. Family's excited. You get to gather around and, you know, just have a great time of year. And most everybody gets off work, right? So what's not to look forward to? But yeah, it's absolutely an optimistic time of year.
Well, folks, you know, we're up against a break. We got two thirds of the show left. There's a lot of good information. It's going to tell you what kind of tree, the pros and cons of it, wreaths, decorating, how many lights. I mean, this guy is a plethora of knowledge. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this break.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This is the All Four Seasons Home Show on Extra 106.3.
Welcome back to the All Four Seasons Home Show with your sponsor, Dan Watkins. I'm Jim Niarchos. Dan, before we get back to our guests, I want to know, what the heck is going on with All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors? Are you guys doing anything here? Any specials that are coming up here for towards the end of the year with the holiday spirit? I know you're a man who loves to give back to the community, so start giving. Give our audience a special, Dan.
Well, why don't I give you the $400 off per double door or two single doors on carriage garage doors, and $400 off of a fiberglass front door.
All right, you got to get that front door. Get that front door ready. That's what. Hey, you wouldn't want to hang a tradition wreath on an old ratty front door, right?
Well, that's right. And you know what? Remember, those are two of the best return on investments you can actually make in your entire household. The only thing that can beat it is if you have a carport and you enclose that, then you get about a 500% return on that investment. You know, curb appeal, the first impression to your home is your front door and your garage door.
That's
so
right.
That in mind, and really relative to a lot of things you do around the house, is pretty inexpensive.
Exactly. Well, thank you for that. Anyway, if you're just joining us, we're here with, I hate to say an old guest, it's an old friend, Matt Bowman of Tradition Trees has taken time out of probably his busiest time, believe it or not, is just before the lots go up because there's so much preparation to get ready. But Matt, tell me, what percentage of people in the U.S. choose a real tree versus an artificial tree? Where is that all at now?
That's a good question. It kind of changes every year. There's some folks who end up getting an artificial and try it for a couple of years and realize, you know what,
it just isn't the same.
It's not the same. So they come back every year. But there is about 35 million live Christmas trees sold in America every year. So what is that? A little over 10% of the population buying a real Christmas tree. And again, that number can fluctuate here and there. And but it's a lot of Christmas trees every
year. But you'd say it's alive and well. It's not
absolutely.
It's not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
Absolutely not. No pun intended.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, how many different kinds of trees are there? Let's go through the different kinds of Christmas trees, right, Dan?
Yep. Well, I remember he said 11, but he didn't.
We want to name them, though.
Let's see. If
we want to talk about the pros and cons.
I just want to quiz him because I know he can do it. I saw him. He's thinking right now. He's like, man, I'm waiting for that one of these.
Can I get all 11 out here? Well, the good thing, too, is that that's just what's recognized. Really, anything can be a Christmas tree, right? If you're
Charlie Brown proved that.
That's right. Exactly. A little tiny pine. But let's see here. We've got my favorite, the classic. The Southeast Zone Appalachian grown Fraser fir. That's kind of the predominant one in the market. That's what everyone remembers. Nice dark green color, little silver underside. And really, what do people love most about the Christmas tree? Usually that's that smell, right? Fraser fir smells great. So Fraser fir, we've also got from the West Coast, there's a noble fir. That's another beautiful Christmas tree, nice layered growth. Again, they grow up on the side of mountains. You'll see videos of harvests where they actually pull them out with helicopters. It's kind of crazy. They string a bunch of them together and pull them out with helicopters. So that's the noble fir. There's another Douglas fir. Those are grown on both the East and the West Coast. We've got balsam fir. That's still grown up in Canada, and some of our friends up in the Northeast, Maine, Massachusetts, they grow a lot of those. There are the grand fir, we've got the concolor fir, we've got the Nordman fir, we've got the Korean fir, we've got a Scotch pine, we've got a white pine, we've got a Leland cypress, we've got a Carolina sapphire. I think I've gone over 11, so that's just what the there's a lot of them out there. Oh, blue spruce, can't forget the good old Colorado blue spruce.
Those will poke you.
They will. They're beautiful. That's
they're gorgeous.
Oh my gosh, they're so beautiful. But careful, sharp needle.
I got one needle. 1 year. I never got one again.
That's right. They look.
They're beautiful. But I'll tell you what, you're trying to put the lights and the garland and the ornaments on them. Boy,
they will. They'll get you.
Yeah,
no doubt
they really are.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how things change from different parts of the country seem to embrace different kind of Christmas trees sometimes. I'm from Indiana, and when I was a little boy, of course, we're talking about like 60 years ago, okay, when I was a little boy in Indiana, it seemed like everybody bought a Scotch pine.
Sure.
Now, nobody wants a Scotch pine today because they're too flimsy. They don't hold the ornaments. But it's funny how things are different or they change over the decades.
That's right. Yeah. No, a Scotch pine is still a great tree. There's still millions of them sold every year. Kind of to your point, it's kind of sometimes you keep going with what got you there, right? So if you had a Scotch pine when you were a kid,
right?
You know, a lot of folks try to find them as adults. And again, we've got it's hard to remember all the different types, right? So there's a lot of people who they don't necessarily know what type they're getting, but they'll give you the I'll know it when I see it or I'll know it when I smell it.
Well, Dan, you being a Michigan native, I bet you guys had the Scotch pine when you were a kid, didn't you?
You know, Jim, I am not the encyclopedia that you two are, and those kind of details escape me, to be honest.
But you had a real
you.
Tree or artificial tree?
We did. We had real trees. Yeah, no, we had real trees.
Did you go out and cut the tree down in Michigan?
You know,
up there?
I can't remember. I remember, obviously, you know, throwing them up on the top of a car back then, you know, no truck or anything like that, but I can't remember if we cut them down. I don't think we ever
cut them down. In Michigan, you can go right out and cut them down.
No, you could. I mean, they're all over the place in Michigan. You probably could just go cut your own down if you, you know, if somebody gave you the land to go on, if you didn't want to get arrested.
Let me tell you, I prefer to go out to one of the beautiful, convenient tradition tree lots and get a tree, because if you go out and cut a tree, you know, you might be bringing in ticks or lice or talk about that for a second. Because I know some people say, well, we're going to go out and cut a tree for the kids. Maybe not a good idea, and why not?
Well, you're right in terms of just going into the woods and finding one. It is a live plant, right, that plenty of critters would call home. And
squirrel!
Yeah, that's right. Everybody remembers the Griswolds, right, from Christmas Vacation. Dan's right as well. You want to make sure you'd have permission, right, before you
right,
do that.
Right.
Now, there are plenty of pick-and-cut lots in around Atlanta, not necessarily right in town, obviously, but southeast, west, north, there's places that you can go pick one out and cut them. A lot of them carry the Leland Cypress. The only challenge with that, too, is that some of those trees just don't hold up quite as good. You get them right inside the house, you're running the heat, they just don't really like it, and can kind of be a big mess at the end of the season. That's where, again, kind of the difference between what we do as an independent retailer. I've got great relationships with a lot of small farmers. They cut their trees when we tell them to. So if we're getting a load, if we want trees in Atlanta on, you know, November 27th, they're going to cut them on the 24th or the 25th, really just, you know, 48 to 72 hours before we need them, get them on a truck, get them down here to Atlanta.
You keep them watered.
We do, yeah. We take good care of them once they get here.
You don't just lay them on a pile on their
side
and let them get all the branches broke.
Exactly. So we're getting a fresh tree. We're going to put a fresh cut on that butt when we get it to Atlanta and keep it in water until you're ready to take it home. We're going to put a fresh cut on it for you before you get it home. And as long as you keep water in that thing, should do fine just throughout the season.
And, you know, those Fraser firs, Dan, they tend not to drop the needles like a lot of other types of Christmas trees, which I appreciate, you know.
Yeah, less cleaning, Jim. One of the things I always like to ask you, you know, just so people know, is what are you using other than water on the trees, and how often or how much does that tree drink?
Sure, yeah. A Christmas tree can drink a ton of water. We do carry a product called Prolong. It's basically like a cut flower solution that can help drink. But honestly, we tell people, too, you don't necessarily need that. Just good old lukewarm water, nothing too hot, nothing too cold. And the biggest thing about watering is making sure you have a stand that holds enough water. You can see there's some stands that you know, you can pick up for, you know, pretty inexpensive. But the challenge with that is that they don't hold a whole lot of water. So you're going to be underneath that tree, you know, maybe even twice a day. A 7 or 8 foot Christmas tree, which is kind of what the size that is most popular, most people get, that tree, believe it or not, will drink up to a gallon a day. So you really have to take a good, keep monitoring it. We recommend turning off any heat vents near the tree just so it's not getting blasted with
hot air. Don't put it next to the fireplace.
Don't put it next to the fireplace, right? Some common sense applies here too. But the big thing is if you have a stand that holds a lot of water, we carry a Cinco stand. That's the company. It's really the best in the business. Not only is it super sturdy and it can hold you know, all different size trees, but it has your great water capacity, so you're not underneath that tree every day. We recommend, especially that first week that you get it in the home, to really be count on watering it once a day, because it's going to drink. You'll see once you get it in the home and get it set up and it kind of lays out and it's looking all pretty, you'll look and you'll see the bark, you know, it'll be a little bit drier and that water level's dropping. So we just recommend making sure you keep that baby full of water throughout the season. And at some point it's really going to slow down, and sometimes it can even stop drinking, but that's sometimes a good sign that it's just kind of full and it's full of water. So just monitor and keep it full of water, and it'll do great through the season.
Well, Matt, I want you to destroy some of the myths where these people think if they put aspirin or sugar or Coca-Cola or Bacardi rum or whatever in their water that it preserves their tree. Those are all myths, aren't they?
Those are kind of old wives' tales for sure. I certainly wouldn't waste something as precious as Bacardi rum or vodka or anything like that. I'd keep that in my eggnog,
God,
right?
You know,
right? And yeah, we've heard all sorts of crazy stories. Sprite is a common one. And again, there's enough, I promise you, there's enough sugar in that
sap. And no 7-Up.
Yes, exactly. Sprite 7-Up for whatever reason. Aspirin's another one that I've heard. So the science behind it is if you look at a Christmas or really any tree, you know, if you cut a tree, what do you see in the middle? You see that white wood, you know, that's the old wood, and then you have the bark of that tree, right? That's really where the tree does its drinking, and that's why it's important to give that tree a fresh cut. What we're trying to do is open up the, if you guys remember from your, you know, 8th or 9th grade biology, the xylem and the phloem, those are kind of the veins of the tree that help that tree drink, and that's really the only part of the tree that drinks. We've had customers who come in and they say, all right, I want you to drill a hole in the middle of the tree and I want you to shove this cotton up there and that's going to help it drink. It's really not going to do anything. The tree only drinks from those outer rings, and that's why we give it a fresh cut to open up those veins again so it can drink. And again, keep your eye on it.
So you don't drill a hole in the middle.
Well, we do drill a hole in some trees only for the stand. Exactly. Yeah, there's some stands that have that spike stand, which is a great system.
But it certainly
doesn't hurt the tree at all. But yeah, it's not going to drink any extra water from having a hole in the whitewood.
Little fool, lots of sap.
That's right.
And listen, how long do these trees last? If they're drinking water, I mean, how long can you keep a tree up?
Honestly,
before it's a fire hazard.
Right. They'll last through as long as you're keeping water. I mean, a lot of times it'll last. We have some customers, so we're a full-service company. We take trees, we put people's trees in their homes, install them, and then after Christmas we come back and remove them. And we have some folks who really love that Christmas tree. So believe it or not, we're taking trees out in as late as the Super Bowl, you know, early February. We encourage people to get rid of them before that. But at the same time, honestly, we've taken trees out in the middle of January, and they're still fresh as a daisy. So if you're taking good care of it, again, just back to not keeping the heat vents on, keeping it away from fires, all that good stuff, trees going to do just fine.
You know, I'm one of those people that keeps it up a long time too, Jim, but that's just because I'm lazy,
right?
And I don't get to the point of taking it down.
Well, you know, it's funny, Dan, how things do change over the decades. I remember as a kid back in those days, and I'm much older than both of you, but back then, they tended to not go get the tree or put the tree up until just before Christmas. Some of them, it was like Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve. I used to beg my dad to go to the tree. No, we're not putting it up until, you know. He thought it was early if you put the tree up 2 days before Christmas.
Wow.
And then right after New Year's, you took it down. Well, now people put their tree up. They put the tree up early and they keep it, right?
It is. It's nuts.
Talk about that.
It really has. I think it just has to do with just, you know, people wanting to celebrate, you know, and get in that Christmas spirit. It's obviously hard not to, because as soon as Halloween's over, you'll start seeing the commercials on TV and the jingles on the radio and everything, knowing that the Christmas is here. So I think people just kind of get in the spirit early, which, you know, it's cool. I mean, why not? Enjoy everything. I used to tell, we usually open up our lots the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And I used to tell my managers, I say, okay, yeah, that first weekend, you're just kind of getting set up and make the lot look nice. And, you know, you're really preparing for that Friday after Thanksgiving.
You lie,
right?
Matt Bowman.
No,
you
not
lie.
Anymore. It's as soon as trees hit the ground, we are selling them.
They're
crazy.
There,
absolutely. I think the pandemic had something to do with it, where, you know, people just really wanted something, a reason to celebrate anything.
Right.
And
especially now with what's going on in the country.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So it is crazy.
Let's go, Brandon.
We get the 15th of November is our first truck arriving this year, where we'll start delivering them that day. We've got some commercial clients that are ready to get their trees in, and all our retail lots will open up on Saturday the 18th this year.
So my point is, there's a lot more expected of a Christmas tree than there was years ago.
That's
as
right.
far as it staying nice,
sure.
and not needles, and right, Dan?
Well, listen, besides that too,
the pressure that you put on your Christmas tree in the Watkins household is really a sin, Dan.
When does
it go up? When do you put your tree up?
You know, what's funny is we already have it up. it is not the real tree, though. That's why, I mean, I'm embarrassed to say it, but we do a Halloween tree.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
So we do a Halloween tree, and then that kind of just rolls right into the Christmas tree. But I one thing you talked about, and I want to add to, I feel like this media and everything that's going on, people trying to kill all the traditions in this country. I mean, there's been assault on all of our traditions.
Woke.
And truthfully, right? I mean,
woke.
This is one of our biggest traditions, right, in the entire country or whatever. I hope they're not going to come for the Christmas tree next.
Well, you remember when they didn't want you to say Christmas. They didn't want you to say Merry Christmas. You had to say Happy Holidays, or Right, Matt?
That's the beginning of this garbage started, back then, and it's just they've accelerated it all.
Yeah, I do think it's a little bit overhyped because again, it just the man on the street. If you talk to your friends and family, right, they're not afraid to say Merry Christmas.
No.
They're not going to get offended if you say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. It's whatever people choose. And again, it's about the time of year. It really is about loving your brother, loving your neighbor,
right,
loving your family.
Right.
So that's really what we emphasize and try not to get bogged down in all the the negativity that is all too prevalent in the world today.
Well, there's a lot of non-Christians that I've known, and they laugh when they hear about somebody saying you can't say Merry Christmas. They'll say Merry Christmas,
sure,
too. They love Christmas,
absolutely,
right?
Yep.
Because of the overall joy and atmosphere. Every happy. People like to see people happy.
That's it.
You know? Dan?
Yeah, no. I think that's a big deal. And like you said, I've got plenty of Jewish friends, and not one of them would ever in a million years get offended because you said Merry Christmas.
They
who
like
in the
it.
World would get offended by that? And if you get offended by it, you're the one with the problem. That's
better,
right. It's not the person that said it.
You better believe it. Now you touched on something real brief, Matt, and I want to bring it up again because it's so important to our audience. To get the right stand, there's a lot of cheap Christmas stands out there. They're going to break. They're going to rust. They're not going to be stable. And you got to have a good stand. And at Tradition Trees, they carry nothing but a good, high-quality stand. It's going to last for a lifetime, right, Dan? I mean, Matt, go
absolutely
ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah, they do have a lifetime guarantee on them. They're totally awesome. I think it makes sense to just talk about the whole process, right, of like how to get a good quality tree, what to look for when you're shopping for a Christmas tree, and kind of make sure you do get a tree that's going to last throughout the season. So again, what you really want to look for, it's all about freshness, right? How soon was that tree cut before it got to Atlanta? And I love our big box stores here in Atlanta. There's some great companies, but you think about all the thousands and thousands and thousands of trees they sell. They've got to start cutting those trees awful early. In fact, we'll see folks, some farms are cutting trees as early as late October for trees that are going to be sold in Atlanta. That tree's not going to last through the season, right? So it starts with just finding a good quality tree, and that's what you get more often from some of the independent retailers out there. And then noticing what the retailer does to take care of that tree. Is it at least stored in shade? Is it in water? Not everyone has the capabilities to do that, but if they're at least keeping the trees shaded, that's going to be better off as well. And then there's some tricks when you're actually looking at the tree, with particularly with the Fraser fir or any of the fir varieties. You can grab a branch of the tree and do kind of a gentle pulling back of the needle, like kind of pulling your hand back towards yourself. If you look in the palm of your hand and you see a bunch of needles, look for another tree. That tree's not doing super
not
good.
If it's good. Already,
that's right. Absolutely. And then, just making sure you get a fresh cut on that tree and then keep it full of water once you get it home.
You know, in past shows, what I thought was very valuable, what you brought up, is you are also very knowledgeable on the proper way to decorate a tree, which
sure
saves people a lot of aggravation. We'll talk about that.
Sure, absolutely. There's, as much fun as the Christmas tree is, kind of decorating it can be a pain in the neck as well. But again, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? So you can kind of anything you do, just the fun of decorating and getting around with the family is what it's all about one way or another. But with lighting, we kind of recommend if you like a nice, fully lit tree, we recommend adding 100 lights per foot, if that makes sense. Most sets of lights, we predominantly, when we light trees for our customers, we use LED lights just because it makes it really idiot-proof. If you're still using incandescent, you have to do a lot of calculations to make sure you're not overloading circuits. Everyone remembers Christmas
well,
it'll
Story. It'll burn you, too.
They get hot.
I used to get the hell burned out of me when I was a kid putting on the orange. No, you remember that, how hot the lights used to be, Dan?
I do, yeah. No, it's...
The LED,
different
LED
day and
lights
age,
are
right?
great. They're
yeah, LED's
great,
the way
man.
To go. And again, people use mini lights. Those are kind of the small kind of pencil tip size lights. You said you were a fan of the C9. Those
right.
are kind of the more bigger bulb thumb size.
Right, for outdoors.
I love the C9s too. When I was growing up, my mom would she just had a big set of C9 multicolored C9 lights, and that's what we had. Kind of people. I don't know. Trend wise, everyone likes the kind of the elegant, warm white color, just the clear bulb look.
And
but
what do they call
I'm a color
ones?
Guy. I like
icicle
all the colors.
Lights.
Icicle lights. Yeah. You'll see those hanging off of Four Seasons garages all over town, I'm sure. There's again. That's it. Really, with the technology these days, I mean, it is it really is crazy to look at everything that you got options-wise for decorating the tree and the home. Yeah.
Well, if you want your garage door, your All Four Seasons garage door, your All Four Seasons entry door, new garage door, new entry door to look best, if you want to look best, you need to put some of these tradition tree lights around, right?
That's right.
You guys decorate. We're going to get into that in the next segment.
Awesome.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah. And how about a wreath on the front door?
Yeah,
right?
No doubt.
You better believe
garland,
it.
We got it all.
Actually, talk a little bit about that right now, too, because you do sell the wreaths
and garland.
Garland. Yeah, sure. So maybe just talk a little bit about some of those things that you sell besides the trees.
Yeah, we're all things Christmas, you know, whether it's wreaths and trees and garland and Christmas lights, we can take care of you. I love garland. I mean, it's just kind of a great accent around the home. We'll drape some garland over a mantelpiece, maybe have some cool nativity scene or some candles, always look mm-hmm. good. Place setting for Christmas dinners, nice to have a little garland around. And then wreaths, you know, another great way to kind of get in the season, whether it's just kind of a good old wreath with a bow on the front door looks awesome. And we do crazy 8-foot wide wreaths for some folks. We're putting them up all over town. But yeah, wreaths and garland are a big part of the holidays. And people, again, I think that back to, you know, some of the holdover from the pandemic, the whole nesting thing, people just want to be in the spirit, right? So we have customers who they get multiple Christmas trees. They're getting one for the kids' room. They're maybe putting one on the back porch where they have their fire pit and watch some football games, you know, SEC championships on, and they got their Christmas tree. We'll watch those dogs take care of business here in a couple weeks.
What a wonderful idea. What a wonderful idea, right?
Well, upstairs, downstairs.
You guys to add a couple more Christmas trees over there at the
Walker. That's what I need, Jim. That's exactly what I need. Some more Christmas decorations. Yeah, I don't have enough. It only takes up 500 square feet right now.
You know, for years I used to give them a Christmas decoration, like something large or whatever, right? And I noticed that you guys don't always put them out. I think Dan hit them or something. But anyway, we're up against a break. You're listening to Matt Bowman from Tradition Trees. He's going to be back in just a moment. You're listening to the All Four Seasons Home Show. Why would you want to listen to anything else? We'll be right back.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is the All Four Seasons Home Show on Extra 106.3.
Welcome back to the All Four Seasons Home Show with your sponsor, Dan Watkins, and I'm Jim Niarchos, and this is the big Christmas show here. It might sound like we're starting a little early, but you got to be prepared. You got to be prepared for the season, right, Dan? You can't wait till the last doggone minute to go out to Tradition Trees lot and think you're going to get the tree you want, because everybody's buying their tree early.
Well, you want to maximize and get the most dollar value, right? How many days you can have that tree
exactly.
in your
you
house,
know what?
Right?
Excellent point.
It makes it cheaper that way.
This is why the man is a sponsor of the show. He just brought the best point. Get your tree early and maximize the time, your investment to have that tree. The kids will love it. Grandma will love it. Everybody will love it. I mean, it's, you know, hey, look, season's going to be over with before you know it. Enjoy it. Stretch it out. But I want to talk about, you know, we have a lot of hills and valleys and a lot of three-story houses and that type of thing. I'll be honest with you, Matt. I'm not getting up on the doggone roof putting Christmas tree lights on. I think it's dangerous. I think, you get it all done, you work for hours, and then there you go. Your father-in-law says, Jim, the little lights aren't twinkling. And you have to start all over and check each bulb. You've got a solution for that at Tradition Trees, right?
We do, yeah. We're full-service Christmas, so not only do we help you out with your Christmas tree, we can help you out with your Christmas decorations and your Christmas lights. We've got three crews out hanging lights and ready to hang wreaths and garland and all that good stuff. Now there are some do-it-yourselfers out there, so I was going to just kind of give some tips if you are going to tackle the job yourself. God bless you, number one. Be careful, number two, right? So ladder safety is always an easy one, right? Make sure you're on level ground when you're getting up on a ladder. Certainly have a buddy around if you can help, whether that's husband or wife out there, making sure that you're being safe. If you do fall off, you want to have someone there who can get that ambulance out to you, right? And then some other basics just as far as design and safety with your lights. Again, I recommend using LED. It kind of takes all the guesswork out. You can string 44 sets of mini lights together before you're going to run into any problems with tripping a breaker or blowing a fuse or any of that good stuff. And again, with just simple designs, like I certainly don't recommend going more than a ladder height off the. You know, if you've got a ranch, you can handle it. But if it's bigger than that, you really do, and you want to do roof and gutter lines, again, like the old Clark Griswold style, call a pro. You know, call Tradition Trees. You can call us in Texas at 678-964-7066, and we can come up with a design for you. But again, if you want to do it yourself, I like to think of it as kind of vignettes, right? So you've got your front door. Hopefully you've got that all Four Seasons front door out there. A nice wreath, maybe some garland around the door is easy to do. You can do garland down railings. That's always easy. If you have kind of some smaller trees, dogwoods, maples, Japanese maples, those are great trees that are easy to light up where you can easily do it nice and safe. Again, with like a dogwood tree, you don't necessarily have to worry about lighting every branch, right? You can kind of pick out three or four, just kind of go for some symmetry. And then, of course, plan, engineer your power, right? Where do you have an outlet? How much extension cord length do you need to get out there? Try not to run over any sidewalks if you can help it where you don't have a trip hazard. If you do cover a sidewalk, you can use kind of landscape staples to keep that cord nice and flush with cement. If you've got an expansion joint in the sidewalk, you can run the extension cord through there. Mailboxes are another easy thing to decorate, right? You can just get some, even some like cut boughs, cut branches from the old Tradition Trees lot. We'll give them to you. You can kind of tuck those around your mailbox or string some lights around your mailbox. But yeah, it's just, hey, get in the season, get going. Crepe myrtles, that's another kind of easy one that just have nice straight limbs that you can, again, you don't have to necessarily do every branch, pick out 3, 4, 5 and go to town. You know, there's all the colors of the rainbow, multicolor, clear, whatever you want. It'll look great.
Well, you know, it sounds like you guys are almost like an information center. I mean, people can stop by the lot and ask a lot of these questions too. And your staff is trained and educated as you are to answer a lot of these questions.
Absolutely right. As Dan knows, you're only as good as your employees, right? So we spend a lot of time making sure that our associates understand what they're selling, right? That's everything there is to know about a Christmas tree. And then, yeah, what's the safest way to hang a wreath or to hang some Christmas lights? Our folks can guide you every step of the way. And if they don't know it, they've always got me to back them up. And I promise you, no one knows more about all this stuff than me.
So you're out on the lots too, huh?
It's a much to my wife's chagrin. Yes, it's a tough time of year for me. Yeah, she's handling mom duties most of the day because I'm up early and back late, and when I am home, I'm tired. So
right.
I still try to be a good dad to my boys. But the best part is that my wife gets an awesome Christmas tree every year.
Wow! Wow!
Well, you know, I didn't even think about that, but geez, for somebody that loves Christmas that much, when you're working. You know, that's a tough go. It's hard to enjoy it like you want.
And it is what it is.
Yeah. I feel like the same way sometimes that it's so busy for me as a business owner that between the parties and dropping baskets off and then trying to fit everything else in, I feel like sometimes it's Christmas Eve before I'm ready to actually enjoy it, and then I get a break, you know, at that point. So, and I know a lot of people feel that way. It's just busy. They're getting gifts and all that kind of stuff. So I think some of the services that you provide, too, that can make it a little easier for you during what can really be a stressful time.
No, you're absolutely right, and that hits the nail on the head. I mean, really, we've developed our whole business around making Christmas easy. It is stressful. You know, it's supposed to be a wonderful – it is the most wonderful time of the year. That being said, Christmas parties and you know, thank you notes and in-laws coming to town, it can be taxing. So we really try to make Christmas as easy as possible. We can work within any budget that you've got, whether that's just making sure you get a great Christmas tree that we're going to tie on top of your car for you. We put it in the stand for you. If you bring a stand to the lot, we'll put it on the stand for you, tie it on top of the car, and that's where it starts. And
customer service, I love it.
Yep, no doubt about it.
How about people who want advice come and say, look, we just moved in a new home, or we just got together, we just got married. What size Christmas tree should we get? How tall of a tree and all that? Do you have any advice for that?
We do, yeah, absolutely. And again, we're there to help you out. For folks who are shopping early, I mean, we have tons of customers who actually buy a tree online. A lot of those end up getting delivered as well, but we offer an option for in-store pickup. We have a text line that people can text pictures and say, hey, where am I going to put this Christmas tree in my room? I just moved into this house. Where should we put it? So we certainly can help out on the design end. And again, it's back to just kind of what's going on. Sometimes I go with less is more. You know, you can have a big vaulted ceiling and think, oh my gosh, I need a 12-foot Christmas tree. You could, and hey, I'm not going to discourage you from doing that either. But at the same time, you know, it needs
it's
to fit
a lot
the room.
Of work.
Yeah, and it needs to just fit the room and kind of fit your lifestyle, right? If you're going to have a bunch of folks in town, do you need to have a giant Christmas tree that's going to kind of invade the room where people don't have as much room? There's all sorts of stuff to consider, and yeah, we're ready to help you find the right size tree.
And people don't realize that you actually bring the tree in decorated and come and pick it up at the end if they want that.
That's
right.
We do have a lighting service. I almost wish we had never offered it, because it is popular and it is really a pain in the neck. But at this point, people would string me up by my toes if we stopped offering it. But yeah, we'll bring a lit tree in. If you need help decorating it, we'll do that for you as well.
Okay, real quick, we're at the end of the show. I know you had a special offer for the All Four Seasons Home Show audience.
Absolutely. We're going to have a promo code on the website called Four Seasons, and that'll be all spelled out with letters, no numbers, Four Seasons, and we'll give you $5 off your purchase. You can buy Christmas trees online at traditioncompany.com. You can find us at traditiontrees.com or traditioncompany.com. You can call us. You can text us, 678-964-7066. We've got 5 Atlanta locations to serve you.
Thank you, Matt Bowman, Tradition Trees. Thank you, Dan Watkins, for All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors for sponsoring the All Four Seasons Home Show. Have a great week, folks.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a 3-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.